It's time now for Green Visions, a KUMD production to encourage green thinking and green actions. Green Visions is made possible by All Energy Solar, a full-service solar installer in the Twin Ports, and by the Minnesota Power Energy Conservation Program, making progress toward a lower carbon energy future. We should have Randy Hansen on the line with us this morning. Randy, are you there?
I am. Thank you.
I love it when a plan comes together. Regenerative agriculture. I learned so much interesting stuff the other day from Cindy Hale talking about how farming and agriculture has evolved that really kind of shed a light on my own family's experience as farmers in western Minnesota. And it turns out that you are just a font of knowledge about all kinds of great stuff. So I'm really glad to have you back on the show. What is regenerative agriculture? Is that kind of like sustainability?
Well, yes, I think they're connected, obviously. But I think we're at a point where we have used fossil fuels and so forth and so on and built our world in ways that aren't sustainable. And so talking about our society as sustainable is a complex thing. What can we sustain for the long term? What do we want? Regenerative agriculture is a sort of a framework and an approach that understands that what we have to do with our food systems is integrate them into the ways that nature creates and maintains the systems of life that we call the biosphere. And so the question is, can we in this 21st century reboot our agricultural systems in ways that are contributing to how the planet can regenerate the atmosphere and the soil and so forth? And indeed we can. We have to rethink. We have to reorganize how we do things. And farmers across our region and really around the world are doing that. The horse is out of the barn on this. And people are really applying their knowledge to practice in terms of building soils as they're getting human food and building catchment systems for rain and wildlife and so forth. And so we really have to, in this 21st century, rethink how we humans get our food so that we build the planet and help the planet maintain the conditions for life that not just support all the other animals and plants and so forth that we may not eat, but that contribute to our own existence. So, yes. Regenerative agriculture is a kind of an emerging framework that helps us think about how do we get our food in ways that mimic how nature works.
Randy, I'm really curious about your take on some aspects of this global pandemic. I bet that you could have talked about we need to rethink our food systems, and I bet that you could have, and I bet that you have, talked about that idea in front of classrooms for decades. All of a sudden, people are going to be listening. Do you have that sense that people needed, that people were just, yeah, great idea, until our food systems were interrupted the way they have been, and now people are suddenly sitting up and taking notice?
Yes, I think so. Our food systems are really complex entities because they integrate ecological reality, social reality, and economic reality, and many other things. And people who are wanting a different food system and better food enter that discussion or change for different reasons, right? And right now, we're obviously in this crisis of COVID-19. The ecological climate crisis is still with us. It's taken a slight back seat, but it's still the most important thing in the room, as it were, the biospheric room that we live in. And so COVID-19, I think, has really focused everyone's attention on the fragility of the kind of global food system in which, ecosystems and eaters, the places where the food is grown and the places where people eat the food are so far apart from each other, and there are so many linkages between them that if one small thing goes wrong, the whole pile of cards falls apart. And what COVID has shown us is indeed just how fragile that global system is from a kind of logistics and economic perspective. But like I said, the climate and ecological perspective is still there, is still a kind of larger threat. And so what we're seeing, Lisa, I think, is a kind of larger bundling of understanding of why we need to make this change, why we need to think of food and agriculture as a sort of a space in which we can find solutions that are synergistic, which is to say, if we can rebuild place-based regional food systems, we're addressing climate, we're addressing economic, and we're addressing social issues simultaneously, because we're creating jobs, we're providing good food, and we're shortening the linkages between producer and eater, and thereby able to really address hunger and other issues that are growing in our midst. And so, yeah, I think, the coronavirus has really made one aspect of our fragile industrial food system really apparent. It's helping people make a change. There is such an uptick right now in demand for local and regional food systems, whether it's in CSA enrollments, direct farmer purchase. Local greenhouses and nurseries are getting record sales and are selling out. People want to know their food. They want to know their farmer. They want to know that in eating, they aren't hurting themselves and the planet, and that they're contributing to a larger, benefit to our community. And agriculture can function in that way. And I think COVID has really turned the dial on this. But like I say, climate change is still here. It's still the kind of larger danger and challenge that we face. It's just that it's happening on a slower time frame.
Randy, one of the other things that I'm really curious about is, back in the day, of course, there were the big agricultural colleges. University of North Dakota, the University of Minnesota has a big agricultural college. And people that I know were going to take over the family farm. And so they went to college there to, add to the knowledge that they'd gotten from their farm, their fathers and their grandfathers, whatever. And the idea was, I'm going to take this knowledge and I'm going to go back and I'm going to work the family farm. Now we're seeing sustainable food programs. We're seeing food programs crop up in all different kinds of learning settings, different colleges and universities that could not be described perhaps as MU.
Right.
That's always called NDSU, MU. And at any rate, we're seeing them crop up in all of these different spaces. But people aren't necessarily going home to take over the family farm. Maybe they're going to be administering a community garden, or they're going to work with a community on setting up sustainable and local food production. It seems like the different kinds of things that people can do with this knowledge has just exploded. Do I have and here I am, I'm looking at it from the outside in. What's it like from you on the inside looking out?
Well, I do think that that's true. That, again, I think food and agriculture as a sector touches virtually all aspects of our lives. And so there are many potential occupations, jobs, and ways that one can interact with the food system, and understanding how the industrial global food system creates all these harms and how that sector of food and agriculture can potentially serve as a kind of broad set of solutions. That sort of framework is really important in our world right now, and young people, I think, are attracted to this food and agriculture sector because of all the different infrastructures that sort of underwrite our lives, you know, whether it's housing, energy, transportation, food. Food is the most tangible, right? It's the thing that we engage multiple times a day. And so people are sort of tuning into that reality on how it is indeed unsustainable and how we can use this in a synergistic way to transform society in both ecological and social as well as economic ways. And so it's really, I think, one of the key arenas of this generation to turn towards. But I also think that we can't forget the farmer, the education of the farmer. And our institutions haven't caught up to the reality of how they've abandoned training in agriculture, you know, that is smaller scale and regenerative and locally based. And, you know, it used to be, right, like you said, growing up on a farm, that's how you became a farmer. You were born into a farm family. That isn't possible in the context we have. We have less than 2 million farmers, and we need many more for the kind of regenerative world we're going to create. And so how do we educate emerging farmers is really key in our society right now. And institutions are vital in doing that. They're not the only way. In our region, we've had many internships and mentorships. The Fisher Merits have done an amazing job, and many other farmers in our region have mentored what we might call actually existing farmers right now who are working and producing and contributing to food production. But we need more of those, and I think our institutions can play a key role in recognizing that agriculture is an essential sector. And it's not something that someone else does, but it's something that each region takes responsibility for and enjoys the local multiplier effects economically, ecologically, and socially of a robust place-based food system. And I think that message, that understanding is beginning to take shape in institutions as we create these programs that importantly include sort of production education, education for emerging farmers and for young farmers, you know, who are in the field but are also wanting to continue farming, because regenerative farming is really information-based, right? It's not something where, okay, what I need to do is apply, you know, petrochemicals for fertilizers, pesticides, herbicides, and buy large machinery, and I can do it. It's more that you're understanding soils, and you're understanding insect life, and you're understanding all of these complex ways that the ecological systems fit together at the same time that you're understanding how you can market your food, create a story because your consumers want to know the farmer, and bring all of that together to create a multi-enterprise that can provide a good living for the farmer at the same time that the farmer contributes to the flourishing of our communities. And we have to remember that that form of education is really key and help our institutions move forward in embracing that as a kind of essential sector.
Well, Randy, I wish we had more time to talk with you about this, because the more you learn, the more fascinating this topic becomes. Thank you so very much for joining us, and let's have you on again soon so we can talk about this a little bit more. Thanks again for joining us, Randy.
Yep. Thank you, Lisa.
Randy Hansen joined us this morning. He is our guest here on Green Visions. He is the Eco Entrepreneurship Program co-director at Lake Superior College, and he joined us this morning as our guest on Green Visions. Green Visions on KUMD is made possible with support from Heritage Window and Door, the Duluth Superior supplier for Renewal by Anderson Windows and Doors, and from Minnesota Power Energy Conservation Program, making progress toward a lower carbon energy future.